Welcome to Model Connection. I am your host, Eric Harrell. I envision this podcast to be a platform to give new models a way of getting their name and faces out in front of the photographers that will help them further their career. I would like to welcome my first guest tonight. Her name is Casey Campaign. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Glad to have you be my first guest on the inaugural Model Connection podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I feel so honored. I'm the first. I rarely am ever the first on anything. So I'm just like, oh, sweet, cool.
Oh, you're the first now. Let me tell you, you're the first now.
I was like, yay.
It was my intention to also have a co-host, but I had a text from her on the way here saying that she is come down with the COVID bug, so she will not be able to be here. I wish her the best. Hope to see her for the next podcast. But let's get started here, Casey. Let's go over the basics. Tell the photographers what you would like to know about you as far as your basic modeling information, please.
Well, my name is Casey Campaign. I have been a freelance model for about 3 years. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and I moved to Nashville around 6 months ago. My background is mainly fashion editorial. I also do boudoir. I don't really do much of the implied nude side. Like, I try the implied every now and then, but my personal modeling journey is mainly giving curvy and plus size models a platform where they can feel comfortable in their skin. And I definitely, like, I try to promote body positivity through my modeling. And right. Yeah, so that first and foremost is what I mainly focus on anytime I do a shoot is like, okay, do I love my body looking like this? And also my followers, do they think to themselves, oh my gosh, if she can do this, I can do this too. And also, oh my goodness, like she has the same body type as me and it's gorgeous. So, and then they start feeling self-love and then they look at themselves in a better light. And, that's mainly why I do modeling. And all that.
Okay, great. So that is what you feel you are most comfortable in doing.
Yeah.
That you're modeling.
Yeah, great, the fashion, great. Editorial, and boudoir type of stuff. Yeah.
I know that we live in the so-called Bible Belt. Modeling, in some cases, is looked down upon if you do some boudoir.
Yes.
I run into that many times on my own. Have you ever come across people that kind of, Casey, why are you actually doing that? I mean, you can do modeling without doing the boudoir, doing the lingerie. Mm-hmm. I mean, why are you doing this? I mean,
body positivity, really, and self-love. When I first started 3 years ago, I initially was like, no, I won't do boudoir. I will not do implied. I won't do any of that kind of stuff. And that's what I did. And then after I had my first boudoir shoot, when I got the final images, I think my first boudoir shoot was with a photographer named Randy Jennings. He's up in Dayton, Ohio. I don't think he does photography anymore. But after I saw the final images, I realized, oh my gosh, like, I love it. I love this. It helped my self-esteem. It helped me fall in love with my outside appearance. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, you can love yourself on the inside, but it's also important to love yourself on the outside as well. And after that, like, I started doing more boudoir, and I also did the editorial and the fashion, the creative stuff as well.
Okay. So is that what really enticed you to begin modeling? Your body positivity, you want to feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this. It's my body. This is me. I'm proud of it. I want to show it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do this, and nobody's mm-hmm. going to keep me from it.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and also to influence other girls that were just like me. I've dealt with body dysmorphia my whole life and weight issues. And so I was bullied for my weight. And so I was always mainly behind the scenes and stuff like that. And I would always promote my pretty friends like up like in front and take pictures of them and stuff like that. And I never saw myself as somebody who could model or was worthy of being in front of a camera because I didn't see myself as being pretty or beautiful. And then when I happened to do my first photo shoot purely by accident, it was a favor for a photographer friend. I had a book review blog at the time. And then he's like, well, these images could be used for your blog and stuff. And then so I'm like, okay, all right, let's try this out. And then after that, I'm like, I actually like this. Maybe there's something in this. And then I reached out to other photographers to help me build my portfolio. And then it just skyrocketed from there. And I've been doing it ever since.
Well, that is so great to hear, Casey. So what obstacles have you... I know you said you were not... I use the word happy with how your body looked. Mm-hmm. But what obstacles do you think you have really faced that you've overcome?
Really just trying to prove myself that I can be a model in an industry where women my size are still not being completely accepted. Like they're being more accepted now than they were 3 years ago. But there's still that complete mentality that you have to be a size zero or you can't be curvy or you just have to be just real thin in order to fit these specific designs and clothes. And that's simply not true. Like, you can do it. And unfortunately, there are photographers that will just mainly shoot with skinny models, and there's nothing wrong with that. But everybody deserves to be loved no matter what size you are. But still, like, we need more representation and acceptance. We really, really do.
Right.
Because bodies come in all sorts and shapes and sizes. We are not a one-size-fits-all type of human. We were made in these beautiful sizes and in images. And I think we need a better platform for that. And I think for me, accepting myself is the biggest part of overcoming my fear that I wouldn't be accepted in this industry because I am the way I am.
I've learned that anybody can be a model because, like you just said, not everybody is a size zero.
Mm-hmm.
One size does not fit all, okay?
Nope.
It takes all shapes and sizes, okay?
Mm.
That is very, very true. When a photographer is contacting you about a shoot, I know that a communication is probably the utmost importance. Outfits, the concept, location.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer to go and buy your own outfits if you don't have them, or do you prefer the photographer to furnish them for you? What is your idea of being ready for the shoot? Do you want to have everything with you, mm-hmm. or do you want to have the photographer provide everything for you, including hair, makeup, outfits, yada, yada, yada?
Well, preferably I would like them to supply, but 99% of the time that has not been the case that I've been in. As I've been in this for 3 years, it's mainly been me providing the clothes, the makeup, the hair, me hiring makeup artist friends to do my face or have them do my makeup and my hair for me, because I am definitely not a professional. I mean, even the makeup that I've done, like, tonight, it's taken me forever to study and perfect this, even though it's not completely perfect. My friend Brianna, I love her to death. She's a makeup artist up in Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. Oh my goodness, she's amazing. And I have another friend, Ashley, up in Kentucky around the Florence area. She's amazing too. Like, they make me beautiful when it comes to my makeup. But pertaining to,
yeah, but they're both in Kentucky.
I know. I've had to study harder and work harder on my makeup, and it's a pain sometimes. But I'm just, you know, I'm going with the flow here. I'm going with the flow. You got to learn eventually.
Yeah.
But it's like I wasn't made to be a makeup artist, but at least I'm trying here. But it's a lot easier when the photographer supplies all of that, though, it takes the stress out of it. It feels like a huge burden is being lifted off of your shoulders. But then again, it's also exciting when you're buying. You're getting your own clothes and you're putting your own outfit together. It's a whole other side of creativity that you have to get creative with it. And sometimes you have to make your own props with it, much like cosplay. Because basically modeling, if you're modeling a specific character, you are basically cosplaying at that point. But you're creating this character in a way, because modeling is a lot like acting. You're putting on this whole other persona in front to be in front of a camera to create this concept of this art. And then once the camera's off, you take it all off. You put that character away inside of a box. But it's a beautiful and stressful project. But in the end, it's a lot of fun. So I'm right in the middle. Sometimes I like having that creative freedom and getting my own things, but also, on the other hand, I do like it when the stress is taken off of me. If that makes any sense whatsoever, it depends on the concept. On the concept, really.
I have told a lot of models I have worked with, this is the concept. This is the outfit that I would like you to have. I recommend that maybe you may go to Goodwill, try to find this.
That saves us so much money. Thrifting
is a blessing.
You wear it one time.
If you don't like it, you carry it back. Get your money back for it, okay?
or
give it to somebody for donation. No?
Or there's like, okay, so if you know how to sew, that's another skill that I'm learning throughout this whole process. You can actually alter that outfit and make it into a complete different one, or slice it and dice it and turn one dress into like three separate pieces, which I've known models to do, and it's incredible. And I'm also envious, because I'm like, I want to learn how to do something like that. I really do. I want to so badly. And so I'm like, I study and watch all these TikToks of sewing hacks and stuff, and like take all these notes in a bunch of notebooks. And I'm like, but when do I have time to do that? See, that's the other step, is like finding the time to do that. But that's the beauty of all of this. It's like, as a model, you're not just modeling, you're creating. And that's the biggest and most beautiful part of it all.
You're creating art.
Yep, exactly. And it can go anywhere. And we never know what kind of an impact it'll have until people see it.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you for some advice. I know you said you've only been modeling for 3 years.
Technically three and a half.
It hit me
earlier. I'm like, wait, it's actually been three and a half. Wow, where's the time gone?
Okay, then three and a half years.
Yeah.
For a young 15, 16-year-old girl wanting to model, in your three and a half years, what have you learned are some of the most important do's?
Be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. We are all overly critical with ourselves. And if you're a perfectionist, you can get trapped inside your head pretty quickly. And you begin to compare yourself to other people. And then you can fall down that depressing rabbit hole. And I have my youngest sister's actually 16. And if I could say this to her, I would say it's like, yeah, be patient with yourself. Love yourself. Everybody else is doing what everybody else is doing. You be you. Be authentic. Because that's what's going to get you to where you want to be. Yeah, you can try to be like other people. And that's all fine and dandy, but you won't feel fulfilled in the end if you do that. Because I tried. I wanted to try to do that and be like, oh, well, this model's doing this. This model's doing this. And I didn't find any joy in that. I felt more drained than anything else. And so I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I want to be me. Because also then you'll start thinking about your weight. You'll start thinking like, oh, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't fit right. And then again, you'll get trapped in your head and then you'll talk yourself out of doing this and then you'll regret it. So patience and then also practice. Practice makes perfect because everybody's like, oh, she's just a natural model. Just because she's tall and she can easily bend. That takes hours of practice.
Yes, it does.
You can't, it's not automatic. It really isn't. Even if you're like naturally gifted at doing, let's say, like singing, because I sing, you have to practice. You have to tune your ear to pick up certain notes. Same thing with modeling. You have to work with lighting. You have to angle yourself so it's flattering for your figure. And also how it makes the outfit look. And so, and also saves time for the photographer in the end, in the editing process. So.
Right. I was going to also say that a photographer that hires a model expects her to know how to pose herself and go from one pose to another in the blink of an eye. If I've got to tell you what to do, that cuts down the possible shoot time drastically, okay? Mm-hmm. I expect you to know how to model. I'm paying you to model, okay?
Exactly, especially if they're paying.
You should know what you are doing if you're charging me, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hey, who's paying for it? Either myself or my client. I expect you to know what to do, how to do it, mm-hmm. how to pose your body in a way that you look your best.
Mm-hmm. There have been quite a few photographers that as soon as I start posing, they start laughing. I'm like, why are they laughing? Why are you laughing? They're like, I'm just so thankful that I don't have to tell you what to do. I don't have to show you. You just do it. And I'm like, trust me, in the beginning, it was not like this at all.
It's never like this.
It was the opposite. And same thing, like the biggest thing is like, what do I do with my hands? All of us models have that same problem. We're like, what do we do with our hands? It's like, do we go like, oh, or da, da, da.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's all in practicing. And also your facial expressions. You have to practice your facial expressions in a mirror. A lot of times people, they don't want you to keep your mouth closed. You have to have it slightly open or your lips pursed. No duck lips.
And that's why women spend so much time in front of the mirror, okay?
Well, some of us. Some of us, not all. Some of them, they just, I don't know, they fixing their makeup every 2 seconds. I can't do that. I am not that. If I ever look at myself and if somebody says, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I just noticed I kind of look good today. Oh, my goodness, because I normally am not like that. I'm just like, okay, I see you. And again, that builds into, hey, self-love. If you think yourself, you're beautiful right before a photo shoot, just stop in the mirror and be like, okay. And also take selfies right before you go into your photo shoot so you can be like, okay, all right. Pump up your self-esteem. Get yourself ready and pumped up to go, because it's like, all right, I'm beautiful, I'm on point, all right, let's do this photo shoot, let's knock this out, let's create some art,
right?
You know,
right.
It's just, you know, all that. Sorry.
Hey, those are great do's. Now give me some don'ts.
Oh boy, you want a list.
Hey, Your advice could help the 16-year-old younger out there that is on the fence. Do I want to do this? Do I need to try this? Am I good enough? What am I getting into?
The biggest thing is don't be afraid to talk. Don't be afraid to talk to your photographer. If you are not comfortable with doing something, do not do it. You say it. Say, hey.
Amen.
I am not comfortable with doing this, because there are also, I will say this, there are creeps in the industry, and a lot of people, I've met some of them, and then I immediately said no, and then they would push. I'm like, okay, I said no, and I walk out that door. So no means no. Do not be afraid to speak up. Do not be afraid to speak out, because this is, and if they even say, oh, you'll never work, whatever, don't listen to them. Still walk out that door. It's not worth it.
I am a proponent of every model bringing an escort mm-hmm. with them to not only the first shoot, do it the second shoot. Mm-hmm. Do it until you are comfortable with working with that photographer, mm-hmm. until you know him and you know him or her.
Because I will say this, it's not just the males. There are female predators in the industry as well. I've met them too. Gender has nothing to do with being a predator. Predators can be anybody. And that's the biggest thing, misconception too, it's that they always think it's the males. No, there are also females as well. And it's unfortunate. And it's sad, but this is the reality, and you have to talk about it, because you just have to talk about it. We have to have that conversation. And that's why, yeah, escorts, especially when you're first starting out, unless you do know the photographer personally as a friend, if they were your friend initially, then that's fine. You don't need an escort. But if you don't know the photographer or you've heard sketchy things about this photographer, well, first of all, if you hear sketchy things, don't work with them.
Right.
But if you still want to bite the bullet and do that, you better take an escort, regardless.
I am a moderator of at least, I would say, probably five different modeling groups. I've got two that I also am the creator of. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I have never heard of the female predator before.
Ooh.
I've had quite a few people post, mm-hmm. this guy
mm-hmm.
did this, or he suggested that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I know guys are capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've just not heard of the female aspect of that.
Ohio is a wild place, let me tell you. And there have been female predator photographers and also female predator models as well. Models can also be predatory as well, especially duo shoots. Yeah, I have heard of female predator models being predators toward their male counterparts, and some even their female counterparts. This is the reality that we are of modeling, that we're living in today, and people don't want to talk about it because it's unheard of. Because you mainly, like, when you hear predator, you mainly think of the males. It's like,
right.
Not necessarily. And I could name names, but no, I'm not going to. But it's really sad anytime you hear about it. And you're like, well, what can I do about it? And it's like, talk, speak up, stand up. And say no means no. And I know, like, you can be a deer in the headlights in the moment, and then afterwards, because I've, like I said, I've dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And and then people are like, why didn't you speak up? It's like, it's hard to talk about it. It's shocking. It really is. And then you feel like you're not going to be believed. Like, no one's going to believe you. And I'm like, regardless, say something. Say something. One of my close model friends, like, she was harmed by a photographer. And she lost her best friend. And just a lot of people turned their back on her. And then all of a sudden, she kept raising her voice louder and louder and louder. The louder she got, more of his victims came out of the woodwork. And wow. Eventually, he's being prosecuted. And I'm just like, yes, that is the power of a voice. And that's why I say, like, hey, if something's going on, talk about it. Like, I personally was, like, I was harassed by a female model. Never met her in my life. But she harassed me behind the scenes, tried to ruin my reputation as a model. But because I proved myself in my modeling and I built my reputation on positivity, truth, right, and respect and professionalism, people wanted to continue to work with me. And anytime she would say something, they're like, she's never even met you. She doesn't even know you. Shush. Wow.
Well, I have.
But that's the reality. And also, yeah, don't listen. Don't listen to the criticism. Because that can get to you, too. Because people can poke and prod at you in the comments section of social media.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's the other thing.
Yes.
And especially since we are so dependent on our social media, and especially the next generation, the younger generation, the comments affect them so much. And I say, do not listen to the comments. Don't listen to the comments. That's their opinion. Their opinion doesn't matter.
Right.
This is about you. Let it be about you.
Right. I have been in the business since 2002. And I must say, I am learning a lot from talking with you, because the female predators, I never knew of that. Guys, yes. The females, no. So thank you for enlightening me on that, okay? Because I had never heard of that before. So
I know.
I'm like, what?
Mind blowing. Yes, anytime someone says something about that, and I'm like, oh, they're there. I can tell you they're there.
I also know that one thing a model has got to really do, and you've also touched on it, is you've got to be thick skinned.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody will like your photographs.
Nope.
Not everybody will hate them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have commented on Facebook on well-known models' images, and you would think I shot their dog, okay? They just get, I don't like you. I'm just going to block you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like it, you don't have to comment. I'm like, well, if you didn't want to comment, you shouldn't have posted it, okay?
Not all comments are going to be positive.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Much like in any other source of media, there are going to be negative comments and there's going to be positive. At this point, it's like, what are you going to allow to affect you? Are you going to let the haters ruin your life, get you to leave something that you love, make you quit? Or are you going to overcome it or read some of them and be like, you know what? I'm going to use this as fuel to make myself even better.
Right.
And to prove them wrong.
Right.
Prove the haters wrong.
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing, but improve yourself. Practice even more. Learn new moves. And also study up on your craft. Gather different ideas, find inspiration with other models and other modeling stories. It's just because it's really interesting to look at the history of modeling in and of itself and how much it's changed and transformed over the last 100 years.
Right.
It's
right.
Really incredible.
Sure
so,
is. Sure is.
So I also suggest you study because a look or a pose that was done back in the 60s could inspire you to try it out now. And maybe it fits your personality and it fits your, it fits whatever creative concept you're going to do, and use it.
Right.
So, right. So yeah, it's like, so take what you, sorry, everything just goes full circle to me in my mind when it comes to modeling. It's like people were saying negative stuff about specific things back then, and then those people blew up, and then those designers blew up, and then they continued to create art and inspired other people, and so on and so forth. Andy Warhol, like he's an amazing, well, he was a very simplistic artist. He took just a simple like Campbell's soup can and it just blew up, and that canvas of Marilyn Monroe, and he worked very closely with Debbie Harry from Blondie.
Yes.
And I admire Debbie so much, not just her music, but also the creative concepts that her and Andy created when he was alive, because some of them are just like incredible, like jaw-dropping incredible. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to do stuff like that. Okay. I want to do more stuff like that. And so just like, and I'm trying to like do more of that, or have little bits and pieces of inspiration from Debbie in my modeling work, cause she's my inspiration.
Wow.
I've loved Blondie and that since I was a kid. So I don't know, just that, can we curse? Can I say she's BA?
Yeah.
She's BA.
Yeah,
she's pretty BA.
Yeah,
BA. She has a BA attitude. And that's how I want to like be like modeling wise. It's like, no, I'm going to like kick the, I'm going to do this. And just, but yeah, if you're young and you're just like, well, I want a metaphorical mentor or someone to look up to, I say like go through the path of modeling, or even your favorite artist. Personally, I wouldn't go for a Kardashian, but that is just me.
It just really occurred to me that she's got that Betty Davis attitude, okay?
Mm-hmm. She really does. She takes no lip. I'm saying the nice word. She's taking no lip from anyone.
Exactly.
Because okay. I can't say the real word here.
Okay, now let's touch on another aspect.
Yeah.
Do you spend as much time in front of the camera as you do behind the camera? You're also a photographer.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Okay, now, what enticed you to start being behind the camera instead of in front of the camera?
Well,
what came first?
Honestly, me doing photography came first, not the modeling. But I didn't have my photography business. I didn't really start it back up till like mid last year. I did photography when I was in college, and I did one of my friend Dominique's wedding, and I also did some senior pictures and stuff like that. And I would do nature photography. Me and one of my ex-boyfriends, we would go out and we would just take pictures of graffiti and just go exploring around Kentucky. And we would just have fun doing stuff like that. But even when I was in high school, I loved taking pictures. I loved just capturing odd stuff around. And then it carried over just as I got older. And then last year, just with the pandemic, I'm like, I want to get back behind the camera too. I really do. And so I got a camera and I started doing it again. And friends of mine were willing to have me take their picture, create different concepts. I have to shout out to my friend Manna from up north, because she helped me greatly in specific concepts and getting those started. But yeah, I love creating art in front of the camera and behind the camera. What I can't achieve as a model, I want to achieve behind the camera and with whoever I'm working with.
Yes.
I do say that I'm a beauty photographer, and I use the term beauty as more of, you know, we're all beautiful.
Yes, yes.
My company, well, my business is called Roses of Fire Photography, and at one point, like, my tagline was, we're all roses ready to set the world on fire. And and roses are known to be beautiful. And there's different varieties of roses And so I'm like, well, that's a roses and beauty are universal statements, mm-hmm. and they go hand in hand.
Right.
So with my photography, everybody is welcome, not just one specific type of model. Everybody is welcome, whether you're a model or you're not a model. You're always welcome.
Which gives you the most joy, in front of or behind?
I actually like both. Not one of them supersedes the other in my mind, really, because they're both fun, but they're all both equally exciting for me. Because like I said, what I can't create as a model myself, I try to achieve behind. So.
Okay. Has each one helped you understand what the other one goes through?
Yes. See, like when I did photography first, there were some things that I didn't understand, like posing people and stuff. But when I became a model, that made me be like, okay, since I got to do this. And then when I started posing people, like when I started taking pictures of people and getting in photography again, I'm like, okay, now you do this, da-da-da-da-da-da. One specific example, I recently, well, for Halloween during October, I did a vampire bloodbath shoot.
Right.
Boudoir bloodbath shoot. And I started showing the model, like, specific moves that I'm used to doing as a model mm-hmm. for boudoir.
Yeah.
And she did them, and she nailed them. And I was just like, I never thought that what I would be doing in front of the camera that I could actually utilize behind, since I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. And so I'm just like, yeah, you push your tushy a little bit more, then you do that. And remember, you do what we like to call the turtle to minimize that. And just everything just, and she killed it. The model's name is Rebecca. She killed it. Oh my gosh. I was just, oh. That is like one of my favorite shoots to date because it just was, it was so exciting. It was so much fun to create. I love doing like vampire, mythological, fantasy type creature shoots. So I want to do more of those actually.
Well, hey, okay. Well, okay. Models.
Photography wise. Let me turn you into a fairy. Let me turn you into a fairy. Wee little fairy.
What are some of the obstacles as a photographer that you have learned or you have actually faced in not only finding models?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a model post on social media. I'm interested in doing this shoot or that shoot. And it's like a cattle call. In 10 minutes, you've got every photographer in a 50-mile radius holding up her hand. I'll do it. What has been your biggest obstacle in finding models to mm-hmm. work with you,
mm-hmm.
or finding photographers to work with you?
The photographer part is mainly my size, my body.
Okay.
Previously what we talked about, right, what we discussed.
Right.
It's mainly because I'm short. I'm 5'3"
and
3/4. I take pride in that 3/4. Yeah. Thank you. I don't fit the stereotypical model mold. And as a photographer, it's because I suck at posting. I suck at posting my work sometimes, but when I DM the model, I'm like, hey, do you want to create this sort of thing? This is what I've done in the past. Would you like to do it to add to your portfolio or something like that? And anytime I do, I charge for my shoots. It's hard to find paying clients, but as all photographers can say this, it's very hard to find paying clients because you have to find your specific demographic,
right,
and
right.
find what works for them and creating the payment options that meets their budget and so on and so forth. It's pretty messy, but we're not here for that. But also finding the right type of model to fit your concept, because right. like, let's say that Blakey, she can my friend Blakey, who's also a makeup artist. Oh, she's fantastic. She's actually launching her own makeup brand here soon. Like, she could fit a specific concept for this one photographer, but someone who would think that she could fit into another one, Blakey may not see it the same way.
Right.
As a model. She may be like, no, I don't think I'm that kind of a fit. So there have been some concepts that have been pitched to me, and I'm like, I can tell you right now, it's not, no. That's a no for me, dog.
Right.
But I'm like, but I do know my modeling friend so-and-so would fit that. Like, specifically, my friend Mara, she's a ballerina. Somebody asked me once to do, like, a ballerina shoot. I'm like, I'm not a ballerina. No.
Right.
But I have a friend, Mara. She can fit that. So maybe you can reach out to her and so on and so forth. But that's the other thing about the modeling industry is when you get to know your other models. Like, when you get to know other models and you become friends with them and all you guys help each other out.
Right.
Because there is a level of competition in the modeling industry where you feel like you're competing a bit against each other. But what I love, especially with the model friends that I have, we understand that, hey, we're all here creating art. Mm-hmm. There should not be any competition whatsoever. We're all in this together. So why don't we just create art? Forget about competition. Like, it's not going to get you anywhere. No, it really isn't. But back to the point. For a photographer like me, I like to find models who have the same mindset that I do. Mm-hmm. That it's like body positivity. And also being able to go think outside the box in terms of creating, and they want to create. Not like, okay, I'll just show up and you do all the work. I don't like that. It's a collaborative project.
When you made this statement that you, and I hope I understood this correctly, that you try to price your photography to the client's budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, because sometimes you want to, like, for instance, I do black light shoots.
Okay.
And sometimes, especially during the holidays, people can't afford, like, $200 packages. So I'm just like, okay, well, what we can do is this. I offer a payment plan, like offering payment plans for your clients so that they can afford it at that time. Or be like, okay, well, if I offered it at this price, you're only going to get this amount of images, but at least this can fit your budget and I can still work around it and make sure that you're satisfied with what you do have. Make sure that the client loves the product, loves how they look, and so on and so forth.
As a photographer that has done both the location and studio shoots, all the light stands you've got to lug from your
that
vehicle
too.
To the location. All the lights you've got to lug. All your camera bags. All the reflectors. All this and that. I mean, I've had people say, you're not paying me for the images. You're paying me to set the shot up, okay?
I know. Trust me.
You're paying somebody lugging stuff.
Trust me. I feel you.
That's why I say you bring your escort. I'll use him as a pack mule. Come on. Okay?
Exactly.
I need some help hauling stuff up here, okay?
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, they're the hired help. You brought them. They're going to be the hired help here. But, yeah, and it's like that's the other thing that a lot of people don't understand is, like, it's the studio costs money.
Right.
There's gas, there's lighting. And that's another thing that photographers need to understand about models, especially if you're not supplying anything. It's like, we're paying out the wazoo for our hair and our makeup and also the gas to even get to the location.
Right.
So it's like thinking and being in front of in front and behind the camera, you think about all of that. And sometimes it hurts your head. But that's the reality of it, really.
Every shoot that I have ever done, there has been so much planning goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
you plan, if a model is traveling to you from out of state, of course you offer to give them a hotel room in a nearby hotel so they don't have to drive home late at night, early in the morning. Uh-huh. You plan on the location to be sure it is okay with the property owner if it's a private property. You plan for your equipment, batteries for this, batteries for that. One thing you can never plan on is good old Mother Nature.
No.
She's got a mind of her own.
Yes.
She's ruined quite a few shots for me. Bless her heart.
She's listening.
She's listening. That's why I said bless your heart, Southern style, okay?
Please don't rain on my next shoot. Please don't. I'm sorry what I said.
Your photography business is called Roses Are Red.
Roses of Fire Photography.
See, I knew I'd get something wrong.
Much like the coffee shop Roses. Conversations with models. What people don't know is, like, before we had to take a break, and we came up with this, like, coffee shop conversations with models, and we were like, say that 5 times fast.
Yeah, no way that's going to happen with me. That's not just...
Yes.
Although, I didn't make a note of this. That's not pretty... It's not bad.
No, it's not. I think that works with this time. I think that may. Well, I have water. I don't have coffee. I don't have tea. This was inspired by Casey Campaign.
Okay, well, Casey, let me be the first to tell you that I have enjoyed sitting here talking with you.
Thank you. Same
You're
here.
My inaugural guest on this podcast. This is a podcast to help you further your career as a model. Maybe if a model wants to hire you as a photographer, they can contact you also. Yeah.
Hit me up. Put me up, y'all. Hit me up. Let's create. Let's get some good work done. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, Casey.
Yes.
Your social media.
Yes.
How can people find you?
Well, I am on Instagram under Casey, CAYCE, Campaign, CAMPAIGN7, and I think that is the same handle under my Twitter. I haven't touched Twitter in a few years, so if you do find that, well, I'll start talking on there again eventually. And my TikTok, I do have TikTok, and it should be under CC Campaign, CAMPAIGN7, and I do have Snapchat, but it I think that is also, but that one is C Campaign 7. So
okay. So everyone that is listening to the podcast, those are Casey's social media outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Casey, I've enjoyed talking to you.
Enjoyed talking to you too.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you so much.